This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I'm really excited about my next guest. Roberto Wakerol Cruz joins us from the Post Millennial, and he's going to give us an update on what's happening with this Freedom Convoy. Roberto, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Grace. How are you?
Good. So first of all, can we just get a general update on the spirits? How are the truckers feeling? How long do you think this is going to go for? What's the atmosphere like? If you could just give us a brief rundown.
Yeah, so the truckers have entered now. This is the second week of protests, and they're right on the foot of Parliament Hill in Canada's capital of Ottawa. Obviously, there was some problems with the GoFundMe after GoFundMe pulled $9 million of funds from the truckers. Since then, there's been a second campaign by Give, Send, Go that has raised $4.6 million American, which I think is just over $5 million Canadian dollars. But things are generally seem to be going okay. We have people on the ground there at the Court of the Post Millennial, and they've been showing a lot of videos that generally show people in high spirits. They're happy warriors. They're not going too. They're not being too serious about it. They're keeping the mood light, despite attempts by police to raise the pressure. They said this morning they're turning up the heat. They've been ticketing. They said that they've ticketed 500 people so far, and that's over the last 10 days. I think it's in the 11th day of protest now, while the Prime Minister is still basically in hiding. He hasn't made a public appearance, and he hasn't extended any olive branch to the protesters at all so far.
Yes, we like to call him Bunker Boy here at the Grace Curley Show. Roberto, I noticed that you wrote a piece about how street crime is falling in downtown Ottawa, despite this kind of narrative being pushed by the mainstream media that these truckers are wreaking havoc. So it seems like a lot of what they were trying to sell, and last week we played a couple cuts from Morning Joe, where they're trying to make it seem like a lot of these truckers are, you know, soup-stealing monsters. That's not really working anymore. And so I have two other headlines from you that I'd love for you to get into a little bit. The first one is Ottawa police working with federal intelligence agencies for enhanced intelligence operations and investigations against convoy. This seems like it's meant to chill the effect of these protests and maybe scare some people into not participating in this Freedom Convoy any longer.
Yeah, so they said that they're using high-level tactics and working with Homeland Security and the FBI, as well as Canadian equivalent, I guess, of the FBI, which is CSIS. They've said that they're going to go after the funding. They've already done that with the GoFundMe, of course. But they said even this morning that they were going to go after, they're going to try to go after what they called other funding avenues, which is likely to give them go, if you're going to just look at it reasonably, and said that they're coordinating with financial institutions, so probably banks. And again, they mentioned the intelligence agencies that they're working with again. The crime thing, it kind of was a change in attitude. I think at first they were not instigating the truckers at all. For the first few days, they weren't ticketing. They were basically just letting them do whatever they want. They let them just roll right into the city, which, I mean, you know, there was no preparation for this at all. I think they underestimated just the pure size of it. And then now, obviously, they've been turning up the heat, like they said this morning. And that's resulted, again, in 500 tickets. So I don't know if they're going to release updated crime statistics, but I think the initial lull was from them just standing back and letting it play out. That's not to say it's violent at all, though. I mean, again, we have people on the ground there, and they say that everything is overwhelmingly, no, high spirits. So
I'm speaking with Roberto Wakerol Cruz from the Post Millennial, and you can look at all of his work at thepostmillennial.com. Now, Roberto, one other thing I wanted to ask you about here is I couldn't believe this story because, you know, you understand that they're going to try to get people to stop this and discourage this kind of protesting. However, when I read this headline from you, I had to find the audio myself. You wrote, CBC admits no evidence of Russian meddling in Canada over freedom convoy concerns. I thought this was something unique to our press, where you try to blame everything on the Russians. But let's take a listen to this sound cut, and then we'll have you react.
I do ask that because, you know, given Canada's support of Ukraine in this current crisis with Russia, I don't know if it's far-fetched to ask, but there is concern that Russian actors could be continuing to fuel things as this protest grows, but perhaps even instigating it from the outset.
Your thoughts, Roberto?
Yeah, I like how she started with, I don't know if this is far-fetched to ask, but is this a Russian? It's very clearly far-fetched to ask. That question was actually to a minister. I can't remember exactly which minister. I think it might be public safety, a Canadian minister, Marco Mendocino. And if you actually watch that clip, it's quite funny. His full reaction, he doesn't answer it. He just gives it off to another agency. I think it's the Department of, you know, Public Safety or something. But it's so clearly far-fetched. They came out and they had to retract the statement that they said that she was basically just like pontificating. She was pulling it out of, you know, where, and there's absolutely no evidence. It's this Russian boogeyman that I thought has been dead for a while now, but it's back. It's back now because Ukraine and Russia, because Canada, I don't even understand the assertion she's trying to make. It really blew my mind. I'm still not really over if I've really processed it fully. It makes no sense, yeah.
Yeah, when in doubt, if you can't blame Donald Trump, usually the Russians are a safe bet. Now, speaking, though, of this idea of who's involved in this protest, I find it kind of amazing because Justin Trudeau tried to do this as well when he said the group was made up of a white fringe minority. And you have posted from these events, you know, videos of these events. It doesn't seem like that's the case. In fact, one of your articles, you say Indian protesters joke that they are white fringe minority at Freedom Convoy protest. It seems like it's people from all different walks of life, of all different races. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. It's there was recently a poll, I believe it's by Angus Reid, which is a Canadian surveying company, that showed that 32% of the Canadian population said that they related with the truckers. Now, that's pretty big for something that's being called fringe by the Prime Minister. And I'll just give you a quick anecdote. I mean, I was at a little kind of party over this weekend in Montreal, you know, pretty liberal, very liberal place. And just speaking with people around about, you know, what's going on in the world, most people I spoke to had a pretty high level of sympathy for what was going on. Now, this is just my experience at a party, but I mean, these are young, you know, metropolitan people. They aren't typically the ones that hold views that are supposed to be fringe. So I would say overall, it has a very wide base of support. And the Liberals are going to have to figure out how to navigate it because it's not going away. They can't tow them. It's a logistical nightmare for them, and they don't know what to do. They have their hands tied, so they need to come out with something. And it's probably going to have to be an olive branch. They have to talk to them eventually, right?
Yeah, and I'm glad that you brought this up about, you know, some of the liberal, the left-leaning minds in these major cities. And one of my listeners actually just texted in as you were saying that and said, can you ask Roberto if these feelings against Trudeau have permeated the liberal minds in the major cities? Is he feeling the heat from this? Because when we see the cuts of him here in America, we watch the cuts of him outside his bunker just really ridiculing all of these people who are protesting. I can't get over the smugness. And lucky me, I only have to listen to this guy in small doses, but I can't imagine it's hitting well with people in Canada.
It isn't. So just to put it into perspective, this is now the second election that we had an election last year. Justin Trudeau lost the popular vote both times in those last two elections. So the tolerance of Justin Trudeau has been going down significantly for a long time. In terms of the cities, like a lot of my friends are in their 20s. Believe it or not, there's a party that's even more left-wing than the Liberals, and that's the New Democrat Party that's in Canada. A lot of young people tend to support them. They're led by a very fashionable man named Jagmeet Singh. You can look him up if you want. But anyway, people are tired of Trudeau. It's been clear for a long time. Like I said, he's lost now two elections. He's won them both, but he didn't win the popular both times. So for him to go up there and say that Canadians voted for the Liberal, you know, mandates, it doesn't really hold up to a lot of scrutiny considering most Canadians don't even like him. In fact, 2/3 of Canadians did not vote for him and don't like him quite a bit.
Yeah, and he also, some of the points that he was making were so absurd. Like, he can't support these truckers or even, you know, deign to meet with the truckers, but he had no problem supporting Black Lives Matter, which by all accounts did a lot of damage in a lot of different cities. So the hypocrisy of this guy seems to know no bounds. Roberto, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people follow you on Twitter and read all your work?
If you want to follow me, just follow me at Robertopedia. It's like Wikipedia, but with Roberto in the front, and you'll be able to see everything that I'm up to there, all my articles.
And one last question, Roberto. How do you see this playing out? If you had to make a prediction for how this Freedom Convoy is going to end, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, there's really only two ways it can end. It's forcefully or peacefully, and I really hope it's not forcefully. I really would like to think, especially with growing pressure from other parties and the public, that this has to get resolved. I'd like to think that the liberals will come to their senses and meet with them, hear them out, and hopefully find a resolution. I'm not totally confident, though, so we'll see. Hopefully not forcefully, though. I don't like that.
All right, we'll end on that positive note. I hope the same thing. If you've ever craved a great glass of red wine, but memories of the after effects haunt you, well, that's because many wines are chemically processed to extend their shelf life. It is time to skip the middleman and taste hand-picked grapes that are just, this wine is really, really delicious. I had one over the weekend, a Malbec, and it's just excellent wine. You can taste the freshness of it. You can taste that this is not a cheap wine. It's going to leave you with a headache. And the best part, it's delivered directly to your home. Bonner Private Wines Partnership has exactly what you need. From the first time I took a sip, I thought, this is good stuff. This is the kind of wine I should be drinking. And the best part is, you wake up, no morning regrets. You don't feel that gross, groggy feeling. The Bonner Private Wines Partnership is no ordinary wine club. They don't sell leftover bulk wine and then just add a fancy label. Bonner searches the globe to ensure quality. Bonner seeks honest wines that don't need to hide behind excess filtration and additives, which a lot of wines do. A lot of wines have a lot of additives. That's the reason that sometimes you get that awful headache the next day. And they don't just add an inflated price. Bonner wants every pop of the cork to be an adventure, to savor and enjoy. So join the Bonner Private Wines Partnership and have it delivered directly to your home. This is a really good idea to do right now, especially it's that cozy time of the year. There's nothing better than a nice glass of red wine. I have had people reach out to me and say, I'm having trouble with the link. And this is why. If you're going to do this, you have to go to BonnerPrivateWines.com/grace, and you'll get $60 off your purchase. I'm going to say this very slowly, though. BONNER PrivateWines.com/grace for $60 off your purchase. I promise you're going to love it. We'll be right back with your calls. If you want to talk about the Freedom Convoy 2022, feel free. We also have updates from CNN. I'm going to play the rest of that Bill Maher sound. Such a weird time we live in where I'm playing Bill Maher on the Grace Hurley Show. Politics, man. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday. Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. One of my texters, by the way, if you ever want to text in, it's 63566. Start the text with the word curly. I am getting better at reading them, I promise. Someone just said, did you see Obama, the picture of Obama over the weekend? Yeah, I believe he's building a new home in Hawaii. I'm sure it'll be a very sophisticated home. And he did not have a mask on while he was meeting with what looked like to be some contractors. They all, of course, had masks on. And so that's embarrassing. It's not as embarrassing as getting caught, you know, in a school where all the children are masked. But I do want to tell Obama that if he feels that he's getting unduly criticized and pounced upon and seized upon and people are salivating on those photos, he could just, I'm going to give this to him for free here. He could just say, it is shameful that my opponents are using this photo as a false political attack, and it is pitiful and predictable that my opponents continue to look for opportunities to distract from their failed records. Just reading from Stacey Abrams. You know, they need to come out with like one joint statement that all of these Democrats can put out whenever they get caught without a mask on. And it could be a combination of so many. I was holding my breath. Tony was there. It was historic. And also, I was reading during Black History Month. You know, just let's work all of these in together. Let's weave this into a beautiful statement that cannot be brought down by the Republicans who are just constantly weaponizing and pouncing and seizing. Okay, now we were talking about the truckers in Canada. We will get back to that if people are interested. Actually, we do have some people on the line, so let's go to them first. Ben, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ben.
Ben, I'm a truck. This is Ben. I'm a truck driver. I just wanted to let you know, Grace, that back in the 70s, long before a lot of your listeners were probably born, there was convoys going on all over the country. In fact, they passed laws that any trucks amounting to five or more, you could be stopped and fined for having a convoy. But back in the 70s, that's what prompted the making of the movie Convoy. And if you watch that movie, there is a scene where the truckers get together with the governor. They tell the governor their demands, and then the truckers leave. Well, I want you to check that out. Get your fact checkers to find that and listen to what the governor says when the truckers walk away. But it's all history. It's all history repeating itself. But it was going on in the 70s right there in downtown Boston, down there where you get all the vegetables and everything. There were truck strikes and everything going on everywhere.
Now, Ben, what do you think of this Freedom Convoy that's happening in Ottawa?
Oh, you already know my answer on that one there. I'm a truck driver for 31 years. So, no, I'm all for it. And it's already going on in this country. The media just ain't talking about it. They got one that left California. One of my buddies on the CB told me the other day that he heard there was a big one leaving Montana, all headed to Washington. Well, why ain't anybody talking about that?
Yeah, I know. And, you know the reason, too. As much as I ask you a question, you ask me a question, we both know the answers. Ben, thank you. And thank you for all your work as a trucker. It's so important. The hypocrisy now of trying to not only paint these truckers as something that they're not, but when that doesn't work, and I always say this, you know, first you mock people that you disagree with. Oh, first, Trump supporters or these truckers, they're stupid, they're morons, they're rednecks. Then when that doesn't work, it's like, it's got to be something more nefarious. You know, we can't, for some reason, people still aren't freaking out about how this group of truckers is going directly against what the experts are telling them to do. So then what do they say? Could it be Russia? Could it be Putin?
Ruskies, and these are their secret commie weapons.
What are you talking about?
It's all so predictable. I mean, that's the part of it that kills me. Now, speaking of Russia and Ukraine, we do have a lot of updates on that. Martha McCallum was talking to Jake Sullivan about this over the weekend, and I have to tell you, I came up with a new idea because there's so many hacks in the Biden administration, it's kind of hard to keep up with them, but I want to do a new segment where whenever one of the best and brightest, whenever one of these Ivy League lightweights takes the floor, we can play a little intro music to them. We can give them their due. And there's been so many over the past couple days. We had Ned Price on Friday with an outstanding performance. I wrote my whole column in the Boston Herald about this back and forth that Ned Price had with Matt Lee from the Associated Press because I was so blown away by how terrible he was. When we come back, we'll play a little bit of Jake Sullivan giving Ned Price a run for his money. And we also have tons of updates on the Jeff Zucker of it all. This thing is not going away. Brian Stelter, he must have read something, or maybe he was browsing Twitter and he saw that a lot of people are assuming he's next on the chopping block. So he decided he'd had enough. You know, he's mad as hell. He's not going to take it anymore. He sees the memes. He sees the mean tweets, and he doesn't like it. So he came out.
That's the truth.
With a monologue that was one of his, I'm going to say one of his best. When it comes to sanctimony and when it comes to just telling you how it is, we've got Brian Stelter, tons of Brian Stelter, when we return. 844-500-4242. We're also going to talk a little bit about the Olympics, so don't go anywhere.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Hello, everyone. Now, if you're following the Joe Rogan stuff, you've probably noticed that it's like this weird thing where people feel as though they have to make their stance known. And that's fine if you're going to stick by what you think. If you have principles, then go for it. If you have principles, it's a lot less scary to defend somebody. But if you are moved and swayed by the opinions of people on Twitter, by the backlash you receive, then you might as well just keep your mouth shut. Better to be thought a coward than open your mouth and remove all doubt. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Andrew Yang. All these guys are like, oh yeah, Joe, I support you. Keep it up. Then the video comes out of him using the N-word, which again, not good. But they immediately are like, I'm so sorry about the hurt that my comments caused. By the way, one of the guys who informed The Rock about how awful Joe Rogan is was like, you should know. One of the, you know, the tattletales. Excuse me, you didn't give us homework. He's like, excuse me, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, you didn't know that he said the N-word 12 or 24 times, however many times he said it over the years. Again, not defending it. But that guy's used the N-word in his writing. So no one here can cast stones, and yet everyone is like at the ready with their bucket of stones, just chucking them. No one's in a position to judge anyone else. Last time I checked, no one is unproblematic. But these idiots come out and they go, oh, I'm defending Joe Rogan. He's not a racist. He's not this. And then a few Karens on Twitter go, you've really hurt me. Your words have really hurt me. And they go, oh my God, what have I done? I'm so sorry. It's like, all right, whatever. You now don't support him. You now think you went from not thinking he's racist 25 minutes ago to now thinking he's racist. Fine. But my only question is, why not just not dip your toe into this pool? If this is how quickly you're going to be scared away from your opinion, then just delete your Twitter and stop sharing your opinion, because clearly you don't stand by it. All right, now that's a totally separate thing, though. What I want to talk about now is what I'm calling the best and the brightest, okay? These are people like Ned Price, Jake Sullivan, all of these lightweights who you see at the podium, who look very nervous, very confused, and they're trying to be like Jen Psaki. And I have to say, for as much as I disagree with Jen Psaki's politics, and that would be a lot, I can acknowledge that she is good at what she is supposed to be doing, which is, by all accounts, what I'm seeing, lying to us. And she's good at it. She's very good at spinning things. There's no denying it. These guys are not as good as Jen Psaki. They should not be getting paid nearly as much as she's getting paid, because they can't really find their way out of a paper bag when it comes to telling the American people something and selling them on it. And first, we had Ned Price last week from the State Department just melt down in a delicious fashion. It was really beautiful to watch. I don't normally like to transcribe things for my columns. I'm lazy like that. It kind of drives me crazy. I leave that to Howie. He's the transcription master. But in this case, I enjoyed the back and forth so much. I enjoyed the journalism so much that I thought, nah, I could do this for a column. And I really enjoyed writing it. If you want to check it out, it's at bostonherald.com. That's just a side note. But Jake Sullivan, who's the national security advisor, I always get him confused with Ned Price. He was on with Martha McCallum over the weekend, and he was basically asked, you know, why have we made ourselves, we went from being energy independent to now depending on others for energy, and that would seem like just through that, we've given Russia a lot of leverage. Martha set this up for Jake, and just like Ned before him, he managed to hit it out of the park 100%. Let's start with cut 22, please.
Why not reopen the Keystone Pipeline and reopen federal leases on U.S. land? Because we had energy independence, and that was a large leverage for the United States over Russia. Now we don't have that anymore. In fact, we now buy more fuel from Russia than we have in the past. So why wouldn't you want to revisit those in order to increase our leverage over Russia?
Well, first, Martha, the United States is still a substantial producer of energy. Second, we have worked with partners around the world to take steps to ensure that Russia's attempts to use energy as a weapon get frustrated.
Oh, you're trying to make them frustrated. You notice how he says we're still a producer of energy? That's not what she said.
That is false.
She said we've gone from being energy independent. You know, you can downplay that all you want. You know, if you hate Donald Trump and you hated the mean tweets, congratulations. This apparently this new world we live in is exactly what you wanted. And I'm so happy for all of you. It sucks for the rest of us, but as long as you're happy, you know, and you've got the bumper stickers on your car and you've got your pink hat on, more power to you. Enjoy it while it lasts, because by all predictions, it's ending near the midterms. But even with that being said, you have to acknowledge that the United States being energy independent was a huge accomplishment by Donald Trump. And him saying, first of all, Martha, we're still making tons of energy. Yeah, but that's not, but before we were doing better, weren't we? He doesn't say, oh no, we're still energy independent. He says, we're still up there. That's not what she said. Now let's play the next cut. This is cut 23.
So the United States is prepared for a contingency.
But you do concede that we're no longer energy independent, Jake. And we were before.
What I would say is that the United States is investing massively in being a leader in an energy transition in which, yes, for now, we continue to use fossil fuels. But over the course of years and decades, we become a clean energy superpower, because that ultimately is not just where the jobs are. It's where the strategic advantage will lie, because we can't just look at next year or the year after. That's not what China's doing. We have to look out 10, 20, 30 years.
Yeah, that's why China's not going on board with any of these global warming sanctions that you have planned. What a joke. Energy transition. That's exactly what Joe Biden said at that debate with Donald Trump. He told us he was going to do this. And people were still like, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think he's going to shut down the Keystone Pipeline. I think we'll be good. Energy transition. I love how he says we want to be a clean energy superpower. Yeah, that's what China's thinking of. Are you out of your ever-loving mind, bro? China is not worried about your little side projects of trying to get this place to be clean energy. I love how they pretend that the rest of the world is as obsessed with this woke nonsense as we are. They're not. P.S. Spoiler alert. They are not. Now, speaking of Ukraine and Russia, that is something that when I, once again, I threw it out this morning to a lot of my followers on Twitter. I said, what do you guys, what are you most focused on? Because Joe Rogan is all over the news, but not a lot of change is happening. We're getting more information about how terribly politically incorrect and unwoke Joe Rogan is and how he should be canceled. But besides that, it's kind of the same old story. One thing that people mentioned was the truckers, the trucker convoy, which we covered in the last segment. And another thing that people did mention was Ukraine and Russia. People are very concerned about this. And I just want you to know that we have all of the best experts, the most intelligent geniuses among us, working on this at MSNBC. This is Tiffany Cross getting to the bottom of what's happening with Ukraine. Cut 15.
All right, so Trump's undermining of the democratic process put America at a disadvantage on the world stage as our adversaries joined hands against us. Now, after Biden deployed 3,000 troops to Eastern Europe to support the NATO, to support NATO in the Ukraine-Russia standoff, Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping have declared themselves besties. And for the first time, folks, explicitly challenged America as a global power. Now, this really is no surprise, given here at home, Republicans have chosen not just to reject democracy, but reality, declaring that the January 6th insurrection was simply, quote, legitimate political discourse.
She is reading the most absurd transcript. She can barely get through it because it doesn't even make sense to her. And she's the one who's trying to put up this narrative, and she can, it's, you can hear it in her voice that she's trying to connect all these things that it does not make sense. And then she has the gall to say Republicans don't want to face reality. You're trying to blame the guy who's no longer president. Remember when everyone was going to call him the former guy?
Everybody's always blaming me for everything.
For what's happening with Ukraine and Russia. Tiffany Cross, that is even for MSNBC. even for the network that hosts Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough and Al Sharpton, even for MSNBC, Tiffany, that is a heck of a lot of nuts. That is, I feel like I'm taking crazy pill status right there, without a doubt. Which I should
like
say.
I'm taking crazy pills!
Brings me to one of the favorite segments we have on this show, Journalism in the News.
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change their reporting and they had to apologize and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get? News.
There is a ton of journalism in the news today, so we might have to extend this into the next segment, but without a doubt, the star of the show over the weekend, the person who is really struggling right now to cope with the news that Jeff Zucker is leaving CNN is Brian Stelter.
And there's no time for potato heads.
There's a lot of people at CNN who are on their shows trying to keep it together. You know, they haven't been this upset since 2016 after Trump won. And they're trying their best, but every once in a while they go rogue and they let us know how they're really feeling. They take off the mask of being impartial. You know how they're usually Jared, when I'm watching CNN, I can't tell which side they're on. But every once in a while, they say, you know what? I'm putting that aside. I'm talking to the camera. I'm talking to the viewers.
I'm going to take off my eyes with the plastic glasses, pop those out, pop on the eyes without the glasses.
This is Brian Stelter, cut one.
I want to end the hour with a final thought, and I'm going to go a little bit rogue here, so bear with me, okay? Jeff Zucker's departure was shocking to the staff of CNN. But CNN was not built by just one man, not by only Ted Turner, and it was not led only by Jeff Zucker. CNN is so much bigger than any single individual. It is about teams and teams of people, thousands of individuals who make up CNN.
So I get it now. This is him begging to keep his job. Understood. Got it. That actually makes total sense. Did sound like he was going to cry a little bit there in the beginning. I'm glad that we got over that hump. He's very upset about Jeff Zucker leaving, and he's going to go rogue. All right, I'm following. Cut two, please.
This place is not perfect. It will never be perfect.
Wait, hold on. I'm sorry, pause. In that first cut, he said it's shocking about the news of Jeff Zucker. Specifically, is he shocked about the relationship that people say was an open secret for 8 years? That was happening at his network where he's supposed to be like the media watchdog. I just, for the sake of fact checking and for the sake of very real news, I want to make sure that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, Brian, we don't need the network to be perfect. We just don't need the president bopping the marketing director and two pedophiles on the payroll. That just start with that before we shoot for perfect.
We're not going for perfection here. We're just going for anything besides what is currently happening at CNN. All right, we can play cut two.
Always have flaws. We will always screw up. We will always have to run corrections. We will always have to keep working to make it better and better and better every single day. That is the goal. But the people who say we're lacking journalism, that we've become an all talk channel, that we've run off and we're all opinions all the time, that Jeff Zucker led us astray.
Jeff Zucker.
Those people aren't watching CNN. They're not watching CNN. They're watching complaints about CNN on other channels that don't know what they're talking about.
Hold on. I think he just hit on something right there. There's a lot of people who aren't watching CNN. We should cut that into just people are not watching CNN because he's speaking so much truth, unbeknownst to him, obviously.
Those people aren't watching CNN.
No, they're not.
They're not watching CNN.
They're not.
They're watching complaints about CNN on other channels that don't know what they're talking about.
No, but here's the truth. No one watches other channels and then reports on other channels on their own channel more than CNN does about Fox News. I hate to break this to Brian Stelter because I know the whole Jeff Zucker. He says Zucker so strange. Zucker. I know that whole thing has got him all, you know, distressed. But CNN is the channel that watches all these other channels and complains about them. That's number one. But number two, what I cannot argue with is that no one watches CNN. That I will say, touche, good sir. When we get back, we'll hear the rest of this monologue, this diatribe, this sad, sad...
heartfelt journalism is... he's journalisming.
This is a Dear Diary moment. Watch out, Jim Acosta. He's coming for your spot. No one likes to feel out of the loop, but that's how I felt in the office when Jared and Taylor would talk about their investment apps and cryptocurrency. I wanted to grow my wealth too, but I couldn't wrap my head around a lot of the current fads. That's when I turned to Goldco, the leading precious metals company in the U.S. and the five-time Inc. 500 winning company with an A-plus rating. And here's what I love. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, but they also have thousands of positive reviews. A lot of times with companies, if you see a lot of negative reviews, because that's usually when people feel compelled to leave one. But people are so pumped about Goldco, they go back to leave a positive review. And you can trust the team at Goldco to help you protect and grow your wealth. Go to goldco.com/grace to request your free protecting your wealth kit. It's totally free. It uncovers the secrets that your financial advisor won't tell you. And if you call 855-965-6369 now, Goldco will give you up to 10% in free silver when you open a qualifying account. That's right, up to 10% in free silver. I've already invested in gold and silver with Goldco because I know what I'm getting. And I know I'm in good hands. If you want to protect and grow your wealth like I did, you can trust the experts at Goldco. They've helped thousands of Americans own gold and silver in their retirement savings to protect them against inflation and tax hikes. So that's 855-965-6369. 855-965-6369. We'll be right back with your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley is pure Americana.
I'm so off the cuff. I'm so unpredictable. And I have a leather bomber jacket. I'll take your question anyway, kid. An American
girl. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You know, sometimes when you think you're going to get fired, it's nice to know that there's another place you can go, where everybody knows your name. And that's what Rumble just offered Joe Rogan, which brings us to our poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Bonner Private Wines, real red wine, not chemically processed, no morning regrets, just great taste, made in small batches from family wineries throughout the world. Go to bonnerprivatewines.com/grace for $60 off your purchase. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you think Joe Rogan will leave Spotify for Rumble?
Well, Spotify, for how much pushback they've gotten from the left, has stayed relatively, and I'm qualifying all these words so people don't get mad at me, they've stayed relatively strong in their position of not silencing Joe Rogan. I know they've taken down episodes, I know they censored him, but they haven't outright canceled him. So I think he will stay with them as long as they don't cancel him. So that all really depends. I don't think he's going to go to Rumble. But they offered him $100 million for 4 years.
51-49 say no, but it's close.
Wow, this is maybe the closest poll question we've ever had. I'm loving this. 844-500-4242. All right, so we did give you a little tease of Brian Stelter's real long speech. Basically an ode to Jeff Zucker, but also just begging new management, don't fire me. We'll play that. We have Don Lemon when we come back. We'll play more of this Bill Maher. And we're going to talk about what's happening with the Olympics and Nancy Pelosi. So much more to get in this last hour. Feel free to call in 844-500-4242.
And I'm going to go a little bit rogue here, so bear with me, okay?